Hello and welcome to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti. I'm John Stillman right now alongside of Eric Hogarth, certified financial planner and partner at Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. We'll hear from Joel Johnson in the CEO's Corner later, as well as Heather Atkins with A Woman's Word. But right now, Eric, tell me this. The customer is always right. You probably heard that phrase, right?
I've definitely heard that phrase.
Yeah.
So yes, I think of course.
Retail and restaurants, that's kind of the attitude. The customer is always right.
Mm-hmm.
I think we can probably safely say in the financial planning realm, that's not a great attitude to adopt, that the customer is always right. What's the point of having a financial coach if your advice is better than your coach's advice? So let's talk about some of these statements that you might hear from clients that might require you to push back a little bit and say, no, you're not right about that. So an example would be a client who says, hey, now's the time to get into the market. Or, you know, the converse of that, we got to pull the money out now.
Coincidentally, that is often right in line with someone who just said something like, you know, I don't believe in time in the market, but now it's time to get out. Now it's time to get in.
Yep.
The market exists as part of someone's plan. It's not the entirety of your plan. If it was, and you were Warren Buffett and had billions and billions of dollars in there, you wouldn't really be tinkering with it. You would let it run because you believe that over the long term, the market is probably going to make you the most money and you'd probably be right. But, you know, everyone's got that story of, you know, I bought this and I sold this and I made a bunch of money. Tell me all the times it didn't work. Because, you know, a lot of people know what the long-term rate of return in the stock market is and have seen one of those charts that what if you just got rid of the 10 worst days? Because you had a crystal ball and you missed the 10 worst days. What happens if you miss the 10 best days? Which happens just as often. It's just, don't do that. There's a reason people say things like no one has a crystal ball, because no one does. So don't act like you do, because you can get yourself in a lot of trouble doing it.
Well said. So another thing you might hear from people, I would guess you probably don't hear this one a lot, but I'm sure you've heard it before. This is what I want to invest in. I just need you to pick the exact funds for me.
Yeah, I mean, we're a team. We exist as someone's advisor. There's nothing wrong with having input in it, but instead of, you know, that would merit a question, well, why do you want to invest into it? You know, let me better understand what you're thinking, what you're trying to accomplish, because, you know, this probably comes as a result of reading an article or talking to someone who said, hey, I bought this thing and it's great. Well, why? What are you after? You know, are you looking for dividends? Are you looking for growth? Are you looking for what? Why? How? What are we trying to do here? And let's focus on what we're trying to accomplish, not just, you know, the hot fund or stock of the day that made the front page.
I'm sure you've probably had somebody say to you, no, I don't want to spend money on blank. And you could fill in the blank with any number of things, a will, a trust, life insurance, disability insurance, long-term care coverage, anything like that. I don't want to spend money on that.
Yeah. I mean, none of those things are particularly fun conversations. You know, the risk of dying during your working years is a lot less than the risk of getting sick, getting disabled during your working years. The majority of people approaching retirement don't have a will, or they have a will that's so old they got it when their kids were born, and now they're on the verge of becoming or maybe already are grandparents. You got to have these conversations. You know, we talk sometimes about the different parts of building a good plan. The foundation of the plan is protecting yourself, whether that's money in the bank so you don't create credit card debt, or insurance so that tragedy doesn't ruin your family's life should anything happen to you. Got to have these conversations. I know I didn't save this money. I don't know where the accent came from. I didn't save this money to make my kids rich. You know, I'm going to spend it all. Well, I bet you probably won't. And even if it's not about making your kids rich, you didn't save this money just to pay a whole bunch of taxes in the end either. So have these conversations, have this plan, and you'll feel better as a result of it.
Yeah. All right. How about this? I'm sure you probably heard somebody say, well, you know, it's fine that the returns haven't been very good in this particular investment because the fees are really low. Or maybe the opposite of that. This investment is doing really well, but the fees are really high. Why might the customer be looking at that the wrong way?
Both those statements make me sad. I mean, the first one, you know, it's fine the investments aren't very good. So it's fine this thing stinks because it's cheap. Is that what we're getting at? I mean, I'm not poking fun here. Maybe I am. Fees get talked about all the time. You 100% absolutely need to know what you are paying in fees. But that is part of the conversation. That's not the whole thing. What are you paying? What are you getting? You don't go to a car dealership and say, hey, what's your cheapest car? What's $1,000? Great, I'll take it. Well, it doesn't have any seats or wheels or doors, right? What are you paying? What are you getting? And now you can determine value. Because if you had the best account in the world and the fee was high, and at the end of the day, after the fee, you still had this really high account, maybe it's worth it. And just because something's cheap, it could be junk. So you're wasting more money than the high fee because you're not getting anything for what you're paying. So you got to go to what you're paying, got to know what you're getting, and then you can determine yourself, is it worth it for you? Is there value there?
This one I have to imagine is very common. You know, my accounts are down right now. I don't think this plan is working.
You've got to be able to measure this yourself. You know, we talk about benchmarking, which maybe is a financial jargon word, but think about it from a health perspective. You get real sick and you go to the doctor and they run all your vitals to get a sense of where you are. So now they know where you are, but they don't know where you were 6 months ago. There's no basis for comparison. So what kind of advice can they give you? Maybe you're far better off, worse off. You know, so my accounts are down right now. Well, relative to what? If they're down to the, you know, relative to the S&P 500, but they're only down a quarter as much, and they go up all the way when the S&P goes back up. Well, that sounds pretty good to me. It's time. There's all these different moving parts, different components that make up a plan. It's not just one thing. It's fun to get, you know, talking about one stock or one investment. And, you know, those are exciting things to talk about, but it's really not going to make a lick of difference when you look at the overall of what you're trying to do. Investments are important, but the plan is so much more important.
Having that plan is vital. And if maybe you're not getting the pushback that you need from your advisor, or maybe you don't have an advisor at all, today would be a great opportunity for you to start the process of getting the MoneyMap Retirement Review done for yourself. So, Eric, tell us what that looks like.
Give us a call, 1-800-705-1232. You're going to leave a message. We're going to call you back, and we're going to schedule a time to have a conversation. And how that conversation starts is, tell me about what's going on. What's on your mind? What do you want to talk about? Most folks we sit down with are either retired or close to it and feel like they've done a decent job saving. Maybe they have stuff all over the place. And they come and say, I don't know that I really have a plan. And that's investments, insurance, and taxes, and estate plan. And it's not, you don't have to, oh, Eric, that sounds like a lot of work. I got to really prepare for that. No, you don't. You have to come in and have a conversation and let's just talk about it. And hopefully in that conversation, we can figure out what are the most important things to you. You know, and you start there. So give us a call. It's 1-800-705-1232, and we'll be looking forward to having that conversation with you.
Again, 800-705-1232 is the number to call or text if you'd like to set up that MoneyMap Retirement Review. Somebody will reach out to you later and get it scheduled. Right now, you just need to reach out and say, hey, I would like a slot. 800-705-1232. We promised you Heather Atkins. Here she is, A Woman's Word.
It's time for A Woman's Word.
Yes, we turn to Heather Atkins once again, certified financial planner at Johnson Brunetti. And we're talking today with Heather about how women approach investing differently than men do. Heather, what have you seen on that? How do women approach the investment world with a completely different mindset, or do they?
Yeah, there's definitely differences and similarities here. So I think where it starts first with differences between men and women and their approach to investing is the communication style. And women oftentimes don't communicate within their circles on the topic of money as often as men do. And then that has a effect that kind of bleeds into the investing side. If you're not talking about money with friends, family, your close circle, you're going to be more hesitant and uncomfortable to talk about it, maybe with a professional or when it really matters, when you're planning your retirement. So the communication style is a little different. And men, not all, but certainly some, might be more confident in that topic. And and that might be because they're more accustomed to speaking in terms of money with their friends and with their family members, colleagues. So communication starting that earlier on and making that a part of the conversation. And even if it's uncomfortable, you know, to talk about money with your loved ones, your friends, it's highly encouraged to then have a much greater impact, I say, in when it comes to talking about investments and getting comfortable, as that is sometimes uncomfortable for women because we often like to take less risk. And when we take less risk, that can mean we have less money and less income later as a result.
So is that less risk that women want to take? Is that usually throughout their investing lives, or is that they're just a little more conscious of the risk as they approach retirement, maybe more conscious than men are? What do you see on that?
Yeah, it's, I think, over a lifetime, actually. So when you're not exposed to taking risk earlier on, you're going to be more uncomfortable in taking it later. And we know that if you're taking risk too late in life, you run the risk of not being able to make that money back. If you go through turbulence in the markets, in the investment world, you don't have that time horizon that you did when you were 20, 30, 40. So by taking more risk earlier and encouraging that, and that's what I say with, you know, some of my younger clients too, or to tell their kids even to get started earlier with that compounding interest effect, I mean, that's going to do two things. They're going to get accustomed to what it's like to see your account go up and down. And because of that comfort level, you know, it's not going to be so foreign of a topic. And then you have the compounding interest so that that money can really work extra hard for you over your lifetime to when you need it. You're going to have more money there when you really need it. So when I sit down with, you know, some clients and women more often than men, I see this where they haven't taken enough of that risk earlier in life, that they're playing a game of catch up later and maybe being more aggressive than they're comfortable with because it's required, it's necessary now to get the kind of growth or income that they're needing as they get closer to retirement. And a lot of people, I'd say most people, don't want to be in that position where they're forced into one path. They want to have options and they want to have the choice to say, okay, now I'm ready to dial it back or crank up the risk and have that dial at their fingertips.
So maybe, and again, we're talking in generalities here. It's not going to be like this for everybody across the board, but in general, maybe men have a leg up earlier in life because they're willing to take more risk when they should. But then later in life, Heather, would it be fair to say that it's an advantage to women because they intuitively want to take less risk heading into retirement when they probably should be taking less risk anyway?
Yeah, definitely a good thing to have less risk as women, men, you know, across the board, not having too much market exposure at a time when you're going to need to use this money. And so we just have to be cautious on how much risk we're taking, making sure that it's the appropriate amount, doing a risk analysis to see, you know, is my portfolio driving at 90 miles an hour on icy roads here in Connecticut, or is it, you know, going the speed limit and in a range where you're comfortable? So taking a look at that, that's certainly something that we provide insight on as well, you know, when taking into account the level of risk that someone has in their portfolio.
So men or women, got to make sure that you have the right amount there. And women earlier in life, important to focus on making sure you're taking as much risk as you should be to get that long-term growth. You're listening to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti. Thank you, Heather. Always a pleasure to get her insights here on Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti. Back here now with Eric Hogarth. And Eric, let's open up the mailbag and see what people have for you today. We're going to start with Lenny. Lenny has a good question. He says, between my state retirement pension, my Social Security, and our savings, I believe we have accumulated enough money for me to retire. I'm only 61. I make $160,000 a year, and I enjoy my job, so I plan to keep working for at least the next few years. Does it make sense to stop saving in my 401k and use that money for something else instead?
Lenny, it depends what the something else is. If you're just going to accumulate that for longer-term savings and put it in the bank? Probably not. You're probably better off putting it in the 401k because it sounds like you're still going to make a fair amount of money in retirement. At the same time, a lot of people, when it comes to tax planning, are pretty short-sighted. What's the best thing for me this year? Well, from a tax perspective, it's putting as much as possible into a 401k versus what's the best thing for me later? Well, you'd rather have that money coming out of a Roth than just forcing you to take a whole bunch of money out of a retirement account when maybe you don't even need it. So be looking at the broader, you know, picture of what your plan is. How much money you have in retirement accounts, how much not in retirement accounts. You know, it's not just about how much you save, it's about how much of it you're going to keep as you take it out. But if you're not going to spend the money, I'd like to see you saving it somewhere and ideally somewhere tax advantaged.
Great question, Lenny. Hope that helps. And let's turn now to Joel Johnson with the CEO's Corner. We'll be back with Eric in just a moment.
It's time for the CEO's Corner.
It is the CEO's Corner, and we're joined by Joel Johnson, CEO of Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies. Joel, I wanted to ask you today about the labor market. I think everybody has probably experienced something with a restaurant or an airline or some retail store that they go to a lot where it's clear they're having hiring issues. They can't keep enough people on payroll to get the job done. First of all, why is this happening, as best you can diagnose it from a macroeconomic perspective? Secondly, how have you navigated it at Johnson Brunetti? Because you're always looking for good talent, hiring new people. How have you navigated it in this difficult labor market?
Sure. Well, we've all heard about this, I believe. Part of this is what's factoring in the rising inflation in the country is that it is just very difficult for companies to hire people right now. And those that hire people are tending to pay much, much more than they would have just a year or two ago. Many would say that they're overpaying for these positions, and once things normalize, people are going to have to take a pay cut or possibly get laid off. So here's what we see out there. And again, as running Johnson Brunetti, we're constantly trying to hire people because we grow, but at the same time, we're trying to hire highly skilled people. What we're seeing out there is many people that are satisfied in their jobs aren't even looking to move. And that's a little bit different than it used to be 3 to 5 years ago, where somebody was always kind of looking to upgrade a little bit in their position. Other people really want to never come into the office, and that's not the kind of company we are. And so companies that want people to come into the office, at least the majority of the time, are having a little bit of a challenge. We also want very highly skilled people, and those people need to have people skills. So they not only need to know their business, whether it's financial products or services or strategies or whatnot, but they also need to be very good at talking with people. And so we have a narrow pool of the population that we are trying to draw from. So it may even be a bigger challenge for us than maybe a manufacturing company or a company like that where folks don't necessarily have to deal with people. My son runs an auto shop up in the Boston area. And, you know, when they were to hire a mechanic, that mechanic needs to be a good mechanic, but he does not need to know how to deal with the customers because that's my son's job as the manager of that shop. So there's a number of things out there that are factoring into this, but it really, really is a challenge right now to hire good people. I think also after COVID, I think there's a number of people that just decided to either retire early or they just decided to go into business for themselves or maybe not work as hard. And I don't know where the money's coming from. I have this conversation with my wife, Wendy, all the time. Is where are these people getting money to pay the bills? Because restaurants are understaffed and, you know, a number of different retail stores and so on are understaffed. So I'm not sure what the exact answer to this, but I know it is a big cause of inflation. And sooner or later, this is going to self-correct. And I think a lot of folks right now that are leaving one job to go to the other and demanding 20 or 30% above what the wages used to be for that particular job 2 or 3 years ago. Now, all of a sudden, you know, a $60,000 job, companies are being forced to pay $80,000 or $85,000. I think that is going to be a problem in the future. And I think those folks are either going to get pay cuts or they're going to get replaced.
So when you say you're looking for a very small sliver of the population that's going to fit into your culture there at Johnson Brunetti, and then, you know, maybe an even smaller sliver of that population when you're hiring a financial advisor, a CFP, somebody who's going to be face-to-face with clients, what are you looking for in that process, and how do you find those people? Because I remember 10 years ago, there were, what, maybe three or four financial advisors, and now it's a multiple of that. I don't even know how many are on staff now. How do you navigate that?
Yeah, well, there's 14, 15 or so on staff at any given time. We have people coming in and they're going through a training program. I mean, first of all, we want to look at integrity first. They need to have integrity. They need to believe that they are here to help people first and foremost, certainly not just here for a paycheck. That is not the type of person we want. So we want people that are interested in helping people and doing the right thing. Sometimes in order to do the right thing, you have to move very fast and be very efficient because we've got to talk to a lot of people. Other times it means, you know, reviewing financial plans that we may have done 2 or 3 years ago and make sure they're up to speed. Sometimes they don't talk to the client while they're doing that, but we're constantly reevaluating the portfolios that we use for clients, the strategies we use. So we need somebody that's honest, has a lot of integrity, has a lot of belief that we are having a huge impact on families, because we are. Secondly, that we'll be very conscientious in analyzing a client's needs, putting the right tools, strategies, and products in place for them to have the best probability of meeting those needs, and then keeping in touch and fostering that deep relationship with that client. Those are the folks that we're looking for, and we've been really fortunate. I mean, we have a great team here. We've worked hard at it. We've said no to a lot of people that want to come work here. A lot of people want to come work at our firm. We get unsolicited calls a few times a month. Every once in a while, somebody drops by, too, to want to come work for us. And they're highly skilled and, you know, people that have been financial advisors for a while, and we just say no for a number of reasons. But we want people. We actually want people right now. We have a great client base to serve, and we want to continue to serve those in a deeper way. So we're very, very picky, which is one of the reasons why, you know, when you listen to this radio program and we say, come on in for a visit, come on in and get the Money Map Retirement Review, we believe so strongly in that, that everybody would benefit from that, whether they're our clients or not, to come in to get that one-page plan that shows exactly where your situation is right now. Have it be so clear, so that if you're like Wendy and I, where, you know, I want the details and she just wants to know we're going to be okay, you know, if we were clients, we would sit down, look at that money map, and she would feel very comfortable with what was going on that money map, and I would feel very comfortable with what was going on that money map. So we just believe so strongly that everybody should have that money map, have that retirement review, whether you're already a client or not. You cannot get hurt getting your version of that money map that's customized to you. So that's why we tell us, you know, give us a call. And I'll tell you right now, you know, give us a call right now. Set up a time to do that. You know, call, leave a message. We'll give you a buzz back. You can text. But make sure that you get a copy of your money map, especially after we've come through a time like we have over the last year or two. And the way you do that is just, it's 1-800-705-1232. Again, 1-800-705-1232. You can text us and leave your first name and we'll text you back, or you can give us a call and make sure you take the time to get your money map. You deserve it. You've worked hard. If you're listening to this program, you're probably somebody who has saved your money. You've been a good steward of your money. You've sacrificed to have the type of money that you have right now. And if you're getting close to retirement or in retirement, you deserve to have a great quality retirement and have confidence in what lies ahead, and the money map can help you get that. So give us a holler. Let's set up a time to get together.
Again, that's 800-705-1232, 800-705-1232. No cost or obligation to come in to Johnson Brunetti for your money map retirement review. Again, that number you can call or text. As Joel said, just leave a message or text. Just be sure to include your first and last name, 800-705-1232. You're listening to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti. Thank you, Joel. And wrapping things up here now with Eric Hogarth on Money Wisdom. Eric, almost out of time here, but one thing I think we should mention. We're right in the middle of tax season. People getting refunds, writing checks to the IRS. What should people be thinking about, just big picture in terms of taxes at this time of year?
Retirement is about spending money. You know, make sure you're looking at it that way too. Not just are you saving as best you can, are you being smart about where you're putting it, but are you thinking about where you're going to take it out from in the future? Because you won't have a lot of options then, and you might have a lot now. So make sure that you're, you know, not just filing your taxes, but doing some tax planning with some people that can help you with that as well.
Big difference between tax prep and tax planning. If you need that assistance, 800-705-1232. Is the number to call, 800-705-1232. Thanks so much for tuning in to Money Wisdom with the team from Johnson Brunetti, the official wealth management partner of the Yukon Huskies.
Money Wisdom is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti. Investment advisory services offered through JB Capital, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Insurance products offered through JN Financial, LLC. Johnson Brunetti is a paid sponsor of the Yukon Huskies athletic program.
Better Money is sponsored by Johnson Brunetti.